Texas America and the World, this is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to have a very special guest this morning from St. Cloud, Minnesota, James Rugg, R-U-G-G, who is with something called the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Do you believe that United States education from K through 12 has been transformed to the German-Soviet polytechnical model? The planning for this began in 1934. Activation occurred in the 1990s, according to James Rugg and the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. We're going to be spending the next 3 hours talking about this very important subject and giving our listeners something of a historical perspective on precisely how this has happened. James, how are you, sir?
Nice to be with you.
Yes, I've been reading through the chronology of this whole situation with American education as that has been prepared by the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Why don't we simply start wherever you wish to start and kind of take the listeners through a little bit of the history of this and what the implications are.
Well, it's very interesting. As you get into the study of education, which I have done for the last 12 to 14 years, I think it's very important that we understand the importance of education in the future of our country. And those who are trying to change the culture and the society that we have understand that importance and have worked to try to control education, which they have been successful in doing, as I might say. And I think what I should do is give you a little idea as what I've uncovered as I have tried to analyze what is going on in our country in education. There seems to be two teams of people in education. One that believes in the academic and knowledge-based type of education, which is what we've had in this country for the last about 200 years. And the other is a group that believes that education should be basically a training area for work and for vocational work. And
that concept, this is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, back with James Rugg of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Stay tuned.
there is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
KU-Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is Mark Gantgoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by James S. Rugg, R-U-G-G, of St. Cloud, Minnesota. He is for the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education, talking about a historical chronology here that points out that American education, K through 12, has been transformed to this German-Soviet polytechnical system. The planning for this began in 1934. Activation occurred in the early 1990s. James, before the first break, you were speaking about really two separate camps in the American educational process that have largely antithetical views of what education is supposed to be. Take it away.
Well, I should probably, because of the fact that the vocational component has taken over our system in the early 90s, I should probably go back and give you a little bit of history on what the thinking is of the people who are promoting this kind of a system. And this really started in the before our public education system got its feet on the ground, way back in the mid 1800s. As the late 1700s, Jacques Rousseau published Emile, where he said that Rousseau promoted the child-centered permissive education. in which a teacher should avoid strict discipline and tiresome lessons. The whole child should be educated by doing. This is very important, because this will come up later as we discuss this. Educated by doing, and religion should not be the guiding principle of education. In 1896, John Dewey published Psychology. John Dewey is considered the father of progressive education. If you ask any of your teachers or administrators in the school system, they'll all know who John Dewey is. John Dewey wanted to build a curriculum around occupational activities and not around academic subjects. That's basically what we're doing today, and that is way back in 1896. I want to give credit to Charlotte Isabite and James R. Patrick, who both produced books that have a tremendous amount of information in them to give us the guidelines of what I'm trying to bring to you this morning. So they need to be, I know you've had Charlotte on your show before. She is very knowledgeable, and much of what I'm telling you this morning has come from her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. In 1931, International Understanding by John Harley was published. He said that the builder of this new world must be education. Plainly, the first step in the case of each country is to train an elite to think, feel, and act internationally. Now, there's a concept that is the idea of bringing us away from national and thinking toward international subjects in schools, in the school setting. In 1932, Professor George Counts, he was at Columbia University Teachers College, wrote, "Dare the School Build a New Social Order." And one of the excerpts from his book are that capitalism will either have to be displaced altogether or changed so radically in form and spirit that its identity will be completely lost. That's kind of what we're doing in this country. This change in our education system, which we're discussing this morning, is only a component of a larger agenda. In 1932, the National Education Association created an Education Policies Commission, and the purpose of that was to change the goals of American education. Goals are programs for health, education, welfare combined in one giant bureau. Head Start programs, which most people are familiar with, getting preschool children into the system. Now, that's very important because the system we have right now is, there's a lot of activity in the area of preschool. And preschool is considered from birth to the time where children enter kindergarten. Even in my state, there's legislation going through the Minnesota legislature right now on early childhood care and education, part of which is because the federal program is providing some monies to further the preschool agenda. So, we really have to be cognizant of what is happening in our own communities, because not only in my community, but throughout the country, we see a change in our education system that's methodically going ahead. So, in 1933, the Humanist Manifesto I, co-authored by John Dewey, was published. It called for synthesizing all religions in social and cooperative economic order, and it's basically a humanist, the humanist system, where man is God and moral values are relative, ethics are situational. And this is important because our school system, as you are well aware of, is moving away from the Christian base from which it was originally developed. And so what we're doing is moving toward this complete change in not only our education, but our other parts of our social system. It's important to know that There are people that have, there are many studies that have been made, and I have, I'm only giving you a kind of a small component of the entire studies that have led us to where we are today. In 1948, B.S. Skinner, whose studies are incorporated into current education, published Walden II. It described a society in which children are reared by the state rather than their parents, are taught desirable characteristics from birth, and are never punished. Now, it's interesting the use of desirable. What's the meaning of that word? To him, he has his own meaning. Most people have a different meaning of some of the words that are used in the education community, which is another point I'd like to make, and I'll bring up later, is that the meaning of words are sometimes skewed in the educational community to the advantage of those who are trying to move an agenda forward. In 1951, the greatest subversive plot in history, a report to the American people on UNESCO, and this was this was entered into the Congressional Register by John T. Wood of Idaho from the House of Representatives. And one of the components of that study were that the children or infant school correct many errors in home training. Now, that's kind of important because the concepts of that are taught in schools today are that children coming into the schools have been trained in the home, and they've been trained by their religious community and other components of society erroneously because they have they're not thinking in terms of international but in terms of their own agendas as far as as far as the information that children are getting. I have a book in front of me called In the Classroom that was published in 1948. And just let me, I'm going to give you the first paragraph on the first chapter of this book. The task to which the group applied itself, by the way, this book was published by the UNESCO, United Nations component, United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. And I'm going to quote from their book. The task to which the group applied itself. Now, this book was explaining how a group of people got together to try to decide how to change education toward world-mindedness. The task to which the group applied itself was a study of the role the school can play in developing among children a sense of international understanding. Before the child enters school, his mind has already been profoundly marked, and often injuriously, by earlier influences. But the process of schooling may exercise a decisive effect, for it is through the experience of schooling that the child applies and develops the rudimentary sense of community he has first gained, however dimly, in the home. So they're kind of degrading the whatever knowledge the child has had prior to the entrance into kindergarten. This is important because of the effort of the federal government to bring everybody into the educational system from birth on. And I'll explain that a little later as it applies to our more current system. But I'm just going to go through a few more of these chronological areas that have led us to where we are. In 1953, Science and Human Behavior was published by B.F. Skinner. B.F. Skinner has done a lot of work, and his basic concepts are that we can train children just like we train animals by when they do something right, giving them some sort of a reward for doing that, and when they're not doing something correctly, to demean them in some way.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with James Rugg of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Stay tuned.
is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Attention, friends of freedom and liberty. Our constitutional republic is under a vicious attack by the sinister forces of world globalization. The hour is late, and we must all actively engage our families, friends, and neighbors before it's too late. Now you can exercise your constitutional right of free speech with a statement t-shirt from the Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Wearing a statement t-shirt causes people to think, challenge, and debate what they've been spoon-fed by the controlled corporate media. There's no time to sit around in fear asking yourself, what can I do? Now is the time to make a strong public statement with one of the many t-shirts from Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Go to RBNLive.com's Freedom Store, NoTyranny.com. Or call 800-724-2719. Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Mr. James S. Rugg, R-U-G-G, of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. James is from St. Cloud, Minnesota, and we've been going through a chronology this morning regarding how the American educational system has been transformed to the German-Soviet polytechnical system. James, take it away with where we were before the break.
In 1956, the taxonomy of educational objectives, the classification of educational goals, was published by David Krothwall, Benjamin Bloom, and Bertram Massey. And an excerpt from their book is that this provided the necessary tools for children of education to restructure, for schools of education, to restructure education from academics to values. Now, it's interesting because the word values is in this concept is meant as really the behavioral values. There are three components to the system that is in place right now in everybody's school who is listening to this on the air. And they are attitudes, values, and beliefs. And the attitudes, values, and beliefs are basically to control the mindset of the student toward the international concept of thinking. So the structure that we have in place today and what I'm trying to bring to you this morning are that this has been going on for a long time, and that we need to be aware, and most people are not, that the system that the schools had had in place for 200 year plus years is no longer there. And that is the system of knowledge-based education with a component of history, of geography, of civics, and so forth. That is basically been eliminated from our system. And we have a system now of vocational and behavior training rather than a system of knowledge-based education. In 1965, Congress passed the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. Now, this is important because this act was part of the about four different acts that were passed in by our Congress. This particular act was passed way, way back when Johnson was president. And I need to say at this point that this is not a partisan issue at all. Both of the major parties, Republicans and Democrats, are responsible for what has happened to our education today. They all have their fingers in the pie. Now, in 1965, this Elementary and Secondary Education Act was passed. And that basically was a funding arm for what we see in our schools today, and is still used because, although the name is basically the same, the in the fact that it's a funding arm, it's being used by the current system. In 1967, first I want to mention that in 1958, President Eisenhower signed agreements with the Soviets to study our study the differences in the two systems that we have of education. And there was more to the agreement that was made, but education was one of the major elements. Now, that's important because way back in the early 50s, this change in understanding between educational systems began. In 1985, President Reagan, on the same route, passed a signed a cooperative agreement in education with the Soviets in the areas of science, technology, social science, humanities, textbooks, methods, etc. So this understanding between the Soviet Union and the United States in education has been going on for a long time. In 1969, Schools Without Failure was published by William Glasner. And part of what he said was that students should know that there are no right answers. Now, this idea of relativism, which is part of our school system today, was brought in with this with books like Mr. Glasner published. Now, this is one that will just about blow the minds of most people that hear it. There's in 1972, the professor of education and psychiatry at Harvard University, whose name is Dr. Chester M. Pierce, provided a speech to the Association for Childhood Education International. And this was reported by columnist John Steinbacher. This is a quote from that presentation. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is insane because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of his nation as a separate entity. It is up to you, teachers.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for James Rugg with the Citizen Awareness for the Restructuring of Education.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux, an infected wound, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by James S. Rugg, R-U-G-G, of St. Cloud, Minnesota. He's with the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. James, before the break, you were talking about this guy at Harvard who gave a very, very interesting address in terms of a philosophy of education that, if understood properly, I think will enable the listeners to gain a grasp of the whole ideological foundation of this quantum shift in the educational process in this country, keeping in mind something that I'm looking at in a document that you sent me a day or two ago, where Dr. Shirley McCune in 1989 gave a speech at the Kansas Governor's Conference on Education and said that, quote, "What is happening to America today is not simply a chance situation in the usual winds of change. What it amounts to is a total transformation of our society," unquote. That, I think, is a beautiful quotation to describe something that I think is inherently evil, of course, and dovetails with this
Hello? Hello? Okay. Yes, okay. Are you on the air again? Or am I on the air? All righty. Just to complete what Dr. Chester M. Pierce said in 1972, after he said that every child entering school at the age of five is insane, he said it is up to you teachers. Now, this was a speech given the Association for Childhood Education International. He said that it is up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. I hope that everybody is letting that statement sink in a little bit, because it's so important to the structure that is the concept and the mindset of the people or the system of education that we have today. I think it's important to realize that the system of planning, programming, and budgeting, which has been used in the manufacturing and industry, has also been used in many other areas, like the governmental system, education being one of them. And the idea of that system is that you kind of determine what your end result wants to be and then plan everything toward that result. And that's basically the concept of the outcome-based education system, which has been introduced through this new system, this new education system, to our schools. And that's kind of focused around the attitudes, values, and beliefs that I mentioned earlier. In 1973, NEA President Catherine Barrett, in an article in the Saturday Review of Education, said, "We will need to recognize that the so-called basic skills, which currently represent nearly the total effort in elementary schools, will be taught in one quarter of the present day." So basically what happens is the academic knowledge-based system, which had been in place for over 200 years, was set aside, and although there are some components of it, they are not the focus of education anymore, the focus being vocational and behavioral training. So the concept of our system of education has completely changed. And I think that you mentioned Dr. Shirley McCune. Dr. Shirley McCune was a spokesperson for this new educational change. The country has been divided up into 10 zones, educational zones, and they kind of are a structure that operates above the state structure to help focus education toward the federal ideas. And we're getting closer to the point where this new system that we see in our schools today began to be introduced in much more, what's a good word, just almost to take over the system that had been in place.
Well, you know, when I look at this, it's fascinating to me and rather frightening to compare what I see emanating from the world of education, as you've chronicled it here, and as Charlotte Iserby had talked about it on the show some days ago, and to compare this educational process with what I see happening in the global economy. For example, you know, you've got these world trade agreements like NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization and the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, and now they're talking about this so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for the North American Union. And it seems that each time one of these things comes out, you have another building block in what appears to be a movement toward a full-blown, globally managed economy. And to compare that with the educational process, it seems to me, as I listen to what you're saying and what Charlotte Iserby has talked about on this show, that you can just about trace the way in which each of these regional education agreements And each of these federal steps in the control of the educational process seems to be largely built along the same building block structure leading toward a full-blown globalism. Is that fair?
That's absolutely accurate. And to go a little bit further from on the same concept you're talking about, I think we have to start connecting some of the dots of what we hear at the federal level. You remember that during President Clinton's reign, there was a lot of information that was given to the Chinese, for example, on our defense systems, which we now see being used by the Chinese in ways that aren't necessarily to our advantage. And part of this whole concept is that America has become too powerful, and the rest of the world needs to reduce this power so that everybody is more on an even plane in the world. And that, of course, means that we have to lose our the advances we have made, or restrict them and drop them back to some lower level. And that is exactly what's happening in this country today, is we're losing with these trade agreements you mentioned. We're moving to first a regionalism area like the European Union. The idea is to establish regions throughout the world and make agreements to establish those regions between nations. Nations being every time an agreement is made, some component of the laws that the nation has had has to be compromised. And that's what's happening as we're making these free trade agreements. By the way, the idea of free trade is used because, and it was used when the European Union was established, it's used because most people are in favor of free trade. I'm in favor of free trade, but I think you have to be a little more wise on how you implement it than what is happening right now. You just can't turn a switch with a labor system as extremely different as we have between nations. You can't just turn a switch and say, tomorrow we're going to be a free trade nation to everybody in the world. And that's basically what we have done. And the result has been that we're losing our industrial middle class workers, and we're losing the industrial base from which our nation was developed. I think it's extremely worrisome, and that's something that will, if we don't change it, we will not recover from. And that's the plan, to bring us down to our knees a little bit so that the rest of the nations in the world can catch up.
Well, you know, in just a second, I wanted to get into a little bit more of this whole business of Bill Clinton and somebody by the name of Mark Tucker, who plays very prominently in the further movements toward the globalization of the American educational system. But before I do, I'm struck by the data that you bring into this, James, and that Charlotte Isserby talked about on this show some days ago, where essentially, looking at Eisenhower and Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush, just to name those three, you have what seems to be the participation, the long-term participation of a series of Republican chief executives in bringing this sort of an educational system to pass. Isn't this a difficult thing to get across to a lot of conservative citizens and Christian families and so forth, that this whole process leading toward a new world order structured educational system has had the full cooperation of the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party? That's a hard concept for some conservatives to understand, isn't it?
Well, the system, our political system, has been very successful in keeping us, keeping the major parties at odds as far as the public is concerned. And they're doing that today. But the untold truth is that I call it kind of a below-the-radar movement towards regionalism and single world government that is not being brought to the people through the media or through any of the educational process that we accept as the norm in this country. And so it's important to understand that both parties, I like to say they're on the same train, they're just in different cars, but they're all heading toward the same end. And we have, as a public, have got to be aware that we're being led to the to an end which will be detrimental to the freedom that we have known in America.
Yeah, and just as one example, as you cited in the chronology that I'm looking at here, and I remember reading about this in Human Events at the time, in 1981, George Herbert Walker Bush convened a national governor's conference on the crisis in education, and from that conference came the six steps of something called Goals 2000. Later, two more steps were added. Just as one bit of conversation today, what is Goals 2000, and what were some of the ideological presuppositions of it?
Goals 2000 was, as you mentioned, developed at the National Governors Conference, and that was at the time when there was a nationwide push toward the fact that our educational system needs changes, and that's all part of this mindset to change the system from what it was to what it is today. Goals 2000, I'll give you an idea, a rundown of what the six goals, original goals were, and then there were a couple of more, as you mentioned, a couple more added later. They're very, very broad-based goals. For example, goal number one is that by the year 2000, all children in America will start school ready to learn. Now, that's almost... that is about as broad as you can get, but it has implications. The wording of that has implications, which we're seeing even today in what I mentioned earlier in the advancement of early care and education in our country. Now, since 1965, when I mentioned that the early Elementary Secondary Education Act was passed, that was during the Johnson administration, that was passed basically to help the underprivileged and so forth, and but it had much larger implications than that. And this action that we see today to push us towards bringing children under the guidance of government from the time they're born until they enter school is hasn't been accomplished in all the states yet, but they're moving in the direction of doing that. The people that are doing this are very patient, and they realize that you can't just turn a switch and expect people to move toward what you want them to do. In order to move toward an end, you have to do it incrementally, and that's the way our system has been introduced to this. What we see today in our governance structure, we have many, many less freedoms than we had 30 to 50 years ago, and that's continuing daily. We have, in going through the Minnesota legislature right now, a complete ban of smoking in all areas of private business that have public, that are serving the public, and on all public buildings. Well, they haven't banned and made illegal the use of smoking products. I'm not a smoker, never have been, but this is a freedom that we're losing. It should be up to businesses.
I want to stop you at that point because you're talking about something that came up in my own family real recently. I was over at my mother's house. Now, keep in mind, my parents are fine people. They're retired Air Force people. They're unfortunately coming, I think, from the Bush wing of the Republican Party, tragically enough. But my mother at one point said that she favored the creation of some sort of a national service system that would involve a mandatory utilization of American youth from like 18 to 22 or 23, that there would be some sort of mandatory national service required of these kids after they get out of high school. So we addressed that, or I addressed that in my conversation with her. But then this also came up with a smoking business where, my parents are not smokers. My dad quit many, many, many years ago, about the time that I was born. And, of course, like yourself and like me, they don't particularly enjoy cigarette smoke. And yet my mother said that she favored these movements toward the ban of the utilization of tobacco virtually anywhere in our society. And I said, no, wait a minute. Are you telling me that we should have a system. I said, you're a Republican. You allegedly believe in private property and individual freedom. Are you really telling me that we should have a system where the federal government or an individual state government ought to be able to tell the owner of a restaurant or a bar or some other business that they cannot, on their own property, say what is and is not permissible? I mean, that to me is an absolutely terrifying concept. If I own a bar or a restaurant and I want to allow smoking in that facility, that should be my prerogative, not the prerogative of the state of Texas or the state of Minnesota or the federal government of the United States.
Absolutely, and this is one of the things that is extremely worrisome to me because, for example, the laws that the decisions made by the Supreme Court have led us toward this idea of the loss of freedoms that we're experiencing. This should be the right of every business owner. The people that are coming to that business make a decision before they walk in that door.
And, we'll be back. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, back with James Rugg, the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. Stay tuned.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is James S. Rugg, R-U-G-G, of St. Cloud, Minnesota, who is a part of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. I just wanted to warn our guest, as well as our listeners, that in these next 10 minutes or so, that tends to be a time for some frequent commercial interruptions. And then after that, there will be a time for more extended, uninterrupted conversation. I wanted to mention at the same time that you can support the Republic Broadcasting Network with your gifts to the extent that you're able by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org, republicbroadcasting.org, or giving the office a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also...
Well, you mentioned the national goals that were established back from this governor's conference. So I should run through those for the benefit of the audience. Goal number one, again, then was school readiness. Every child, by the year 2000, every child would start school ready to learn. By the way, none of the goals have been reached, so that's why we have a continued change in necessary in a system. Goal number two is school completion. By the year 2000, high school graduation rate will increase to at least 90%. Goal number three is student achievement and citizenship. By the year 2000, all students will leave grades 4, 8, and 12 having demonstrated competency over challenging subject matter, including English, mathematics, science, and foreign languages, and so forth. Item number four is teacher education and professional development. And that's by year 2000, nation's teaching force will have access to programs for continuing improvement and so forth. Number five was mathematics and science. By the year 2000, United States students will be the first in the world in mathematics and science achievement. By the way, we're way down on the list as far as our outcome is right now.
Number six, way down on the list, aren't we? I mean, I've seen some of these listings recently that it's utterly frightening just how far down that list we are.
Well, that's because this system is designed to dumb down children, not to educate them. Number six is adult literacy and lifelong learning. By year 2000, every adult American will be literate and will possess the knowledge and skills necessary to compete in the global economy and exercise the rights and responsibilities of citizenship. You mentioned the level that we are at right now. This system does not give an in-depth understanding of the academics, and the academics are what makes me very concerned is the academics are what is reported to the public.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for James S. Rugg of the Citizen Awareness of the Restructuring of Education. We'll be back.